Whenever I hear wailing and grinding of teeth, I look for a dentist. Wailing and bruxism. Anyway, can't find one out there. We have to ask ourselves, what is this door and how do we get through it? What is this question that Jesus, he kind of ducks the question here. Will many be saved? It's the wrong question to ask. It's a story, I've used it before, but I always think of this whenever this gospel comes up. When my company moved, the office I was working in with the American Airlines moved to Tucson, a number of people went there. It's a very beautiful place. I love Tucson very much, but I wanted to enter the seminary, so I left. Others went there. One of the gentlemen I worked with was an older man, very, very suave, a very sophisticated individual from Boston. And after he went there, he retired. I went to Tucson and looked him up. We were friends. And he was working at a very swanky place. I can't think of the name of it, but it was in, not Sabino Canyon, but very, 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 very exclusive. And I called him up and I said, I'd like to come over and see you. And he said to me, this is his accent, he said, literally, you can't get in. I said, what do you mean I can't get in? He said, we used to work together. We ate lunch together. You can't get in. What he meant was, you're the wrong kind of person. They won't let you in. You can't get in. And I saw Jesus on the last day of my life. I don't want him to say to me, you can't get in. He's going to say this to somebody. I don't believe Jesus was fudging it here. He tells us there's a key to this gospel actually in here. He doesn't want to be this person I'm imagining, saying you can't get in. He's the door. He wants everyone to come in, but some people aren't going to want to. And the door is in this life, and we can't see it directly, but the door has the name Mercy on it. We are living in the year of mercy. The first thing the Holy Father did was walk literally through a physical door, the door of mercy, one of the holy doors that's open only every 25 or 30 years up at the Vatican. We've got a couple here in the diocese. The door of mercy is entered through reconciliation in the church. We have to go to confession. It's entered whenever we do an act of mercy towards somebody else, which is what we're emphasizing this year. Am I a person of mercy? And when I accept the Lord's offer of forgiveness in my heart and then become a person of mercy, it isn't enough just to eat and drink with the Lord and hear the word, but to be a doer of the word. And so our Lord, he makes it quite clear. Some people are going to think they're strong enough to get in, and they're not. We're not strong enough to get in. Eternal life is not something I am naturally entitled to or will inherit. It's a free gift of the Lord, and he is the door. Regardless of how people envision the world, he is, in fact, the creator, the redeemer, and he's the door. So right now the door is wide open, but the Lord is telling us the road to it is a narrow one. He wants us to come in through the gate of weakness. In other words, he is our strength. He's the one that's going to get us in. The Lord is, he makes it clear that there are many questions that we have in the world today, questions that are not immediately answered. We think of Martha and Mary, you know. Martha questions why Jesus waits until his friend Lazarus is already dead to show up. She knew he was delaying. He didn't answer that question. Or when the tower falls in Siloam, they ask, are these the biggest sinners in Israel that this disaster happened to them? And Jesus doesn't answer that. He just says, you change your life or the same thing's going to happen to you. He turns it around. In this gospel, they're hearing a couple of negative gospels, kind of. Jesus is walking and teaching, and they're hearing some tough stuff, because Jesus is going to his own death. So he's kind of got death on his mind, and he's giving a couple of tough lessons. And somebody says, well, is anybody going to be saved after hearing these things? So Jesus, again, he sidesteps the question of numbers and says, you don't take that wide road that everyone on earth is taking. That's the wrong way. My way is a narrow way, meaning that a lot of people don't get it. It doesn't mean that only a few people are going to get in. It means a lot of people are going to need God's mercy to get in, like all of us. And so he does answer, the questions that he does answer in this world are, what must I do to be saved? What is important in this world? Not all the other questions about the mystery of suffering. The mystery of evil and suffering he answers with his own life and death on the cross. And so I'll tell you the rest later. But how we are to act is precisely what he talks about in every gospel. I had an interesting experience when I was younger. I was praying the Divine Office. That's what the priests say, and religious, and a lot of lay people say this. I was in college in the Charismatic Renewal, and we had a bunch of us that got together and prayed the Divine Office. Believe it or not, I got up at 6 a.m. to do this with a group of guys. Can you believe that? I must have been holier then than I am now. I saw one of them in Phoenix last year. I said, I can't believe I prayed with you at 6 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, I was pulling an all-nighter, and at midnight I stopped. I don't know if I was writing a term paper or if I was studying for a final exam. That's not the best way to study for an exam, but I was cramming, you know. So at midnight, I stopped to pray the Divine Office. And the reading of the day was, here I stand knocking at the door. If anyone hears me, I will come in and eat with him. It's the same door, you know. And I'm reading that, and as God is my witness, I'm in the kitchen, and I hear this. And I was scared. I can't say it. It was scary. And it was midnight, and the door back there, it had a gate with a lock on it, so I don't know how anybody could have gotten in there. I don't know what that was. And by the time I got up and opened the door and peeked out, there was nothing there. And I took that as an invitation from the Lord to enter in more deeply, that there was a mystery of life that I was to pursue, and here I am as a priest pursuing the mystery of God. And the world is not the way it looks to many people. I think I was reading this week about the Middle Ages, about people that lived then, that somebody was teaching a class and was saying that he said his students never ceased to be amazed that the people, when they actually read the stories of their lives in their own words, that the world was very much like this one, except the people then had a clearer sense of their own inadequacy toward God and of the mystery of life and death. They had a greater sense that there was a world to come. And most peoples of the past had a sense of the afterlife. We in this dark, in many ways, I think those aren't the dark ages. I think we're really living in the dark ages, not of technology, but of not knowing what's coming, of the purpose of life. This is not the only world that there is. And the Lord is offering a door, the door of mercy, of finding him in the everyday, in the people that are around us, in the mystery of our service to God and our faith in him. And so our Lord invites us into this great mystery. He's knocking on the door. We have to ask ourselves, where's that opportunity knocking at? And we find him in the strangest places, you know, that God is there, but he wants us to seek him. And we seek him on the narrow way. We get off the freeway and start hiking and taking the path a little bit slower, and we'll find God out there. We find him here in the church when we eat and drink in his company and listen to his word, but then become doers of the word afterward in our words and deeds, and not afraid to walk through that door of reconciliation with someone else or with the Lord in reconciliation if we need that. One day, the door will be locked. That's the door of the last day of our lives. Until then, there's always that door of mercy, and he invites us to be ourselves, another Christ, another door of mercy. People will find in us a little reflection, please God, of the world to come. And living as people of hope, you know. The Lord doesn't want to lock anybody out, but a few people will refuse to come through the door, and they, if they try to get on their own, they ain't going to be able to do it, because we just can't do it on our own. We need the Lord to get through, and we need him to make sense of a world that frankly doesn't make sense without him. And so we ask God to give us grace in our own journey, and we thank him for his gift of eternal life.